Good morning to all of you. We welcome you to Sunday School today. It's our privilege to have with us Alfred and Anna Asante from Ghana, West Africa. They arrived in, I think it was Thursday or Friday?
Friday
from Ghana. They're in Tampa, and Mr. Freeburg graciously picked them up, brought them to his house. And so they've been suffering a little bit with jet lag. We are so thankful that they have agreed to come today. We had a good chance to talk yesterday, and I tell you, they have a tremendous burden for their people there, and the needs are great, and so we thank the Lord for bringing them to us. Dr. Asante, would you come at this time and share what the Lord has laid on your heart?
All right. But I just want to thank the Lord that He brought me to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born into a home where my parents never knew Christ as their personal Savior. So growing up, I didn't go to church until I finished high school, senior high, and I came to the city to continue my education. And one day, I decided to go to church. I had found a church of Pentecost, and that was what I was going to go to church. When I got there on that Sunday, there was no service. The doors of the church were closed. Then I remembered I had seen the signboard of Ebenezer Baptist Church somewhere. So I decided to go there. And so I walked into this church, and this church has only been in existence for only 2 weeks. It was a brand new church. And that was the first time I heard the gospel preached. That was the first time I heard that the Bible talks about the fact that, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was the first time I heard that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was the first time I heard the love of God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God spoke to my heart on that day, but did not make a decision. But I thank God for the missionary pastor in charge at that time, Lau Bellis, from the U.S. He worked with the Baptist Mid Missions and now lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He followed me up to my house and kept on visiting. And so I kept on going to church. After church one Sunday, precisely on the 8th of October, 1977, I got home. I was so restless. I was afraid to die. And so I ran to him and said, "Pastor, can you show me what I need to do to be saved?" And gladly, he sat me down and showed me from God's word how that Christ died for me and suffered on the cross of Calvary for my sins. And the fact that if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. The Holy Spirit of God brought me under heavy conviction. That afternoon, I prayed to receive Christ as my personal Savior. What a burden was lifted from me, the burden of sin. I began sharing gospel tracts. I began telling people, come see what the Lord has done for me. By this time, I was working as an accounting personnel in a big organization. My desire was to become an accountant, make a lot of money. And I was pursuing that. But right after my salvation, I knew the Lord was calling me into the ministry. And I was struggling. I did struggle. And I kept on bargaining with the Lord. I said, "God, you are making a big mistake. This young man is not cut to be a preacher. Allow him to be an accountant. Let him make money and call those whom you will call. And I will support them." The more I said that, the more the Lord impressed upon me, "I need you. Truly, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He must send laborers into His harvest." And the more I read about that and I pray about that, it was the Lord is saying, "But I need you. Stop praying. You are the one I need." And so back in 1981, I resigned from my job. A lot of people thought I was crazy at that time. They simply could not understand. But I knew the Lord was calling me. So I went to Bible college in Ghana, established by Baptist Mid Missions, way up in the north for 4 years. When I came back in 1985, the missionary was just about to come back to America for good. And so the church called me to be the pastor of the church. And I've been there since that time by the grace of God. He's building His church. The Bible says, Christ says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In spite of all challenges and difficulties, trying moments, the Lord has proved himself faithful. I need not tell you that God is trustworthy and dependable. He never fails. In 1987, the Lord led me to my wife. We got married 11th April 1987, and she's been a backbone, very strong supporter in the ministry. We praise God that we are doing this, what we are doing, but there's more to be done. And that's why everywhere we go, we're saying, look, we are co-laborers with a great God. Can we join our resources together and do the work that God has committed into our hands? That's why we are here. We are here to share with you what God is doing elsewhere. So that you can pray for us, you can pray with us, and you can do what you can to support the work of the Lord, because it is his work, not mine. And so we are grateful to be here this morning. And again, we thank God for this great opportunity that we can present our ministry. I've just some few minutes. But can I share with you briefly from God's word in the book of Romans? When I came to know Christ as my personal Savior, something dawned on me. I read about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the very God of very God, leaving his throne in heaven, leaving his glory, leaving everything, came to live among us, born in a manger, raised up by a carpenter, Joseph. And Jesus did all that he could to make life good for people. Yet in the end, he was falsely accused. And he was judged wrongfully. But of course, it was predetermined by God that it should be that way, that he would be able to die for our sins. I sit back and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the pain, the agony he went through, the ridicule. And so I see the Lord Jesus Christ bearing my shame, being buffeted, beaten, falsely accused, spat upon. He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, and he bears the cross of Calvary and dies there for me. I see him hanging between heaven and earth, the very God of very God. And then a verse in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, dawned on me. When Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now ask myself, how can I be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was not ashamed of me? How can I be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ who was stripped almost into the nude, naked, all because of my sins? Now I'm here this morning to share with you and to challenge you briefly that do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. First of all, because it is the only power of God unto salvation. There is nothing that will bring about salvation to any person in this world apart from the gospel. Not the kind of entertainment we see in churches. Not the kind of gimmicks that we see in churches today. Not the kind of prosperity gospel that we hear today. But preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, rose again, and ascending into the glory of God, and with a promise that he's coming back again. We need to preach that people might be saved. So both young and old, we don't have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ because he was not ashamed of us. In spite of ourselves, in spite of our sins, he loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Number two reason, we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because as we look at verse 17, the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There is none righteous in this world. And you read the writings of Paul. Paul said, I tried to establish my own righteousness according to the law. It didn't work. But thank God. When you know Christ as your personal Savior, You are clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And nothing can make us new apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when you trust in Christ as your personal Savior, his precious blood washes your sins away and makes you a brand new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our children will never be able to live a just life, good life in this society that we live in today, full of corruption, unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is why we must keep on preaching the gospel of Christ. And that is the reason why we should not be ashamed. So we have a society where people are born again. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they live a life to glorify a righteous God. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, number three, because of the wrath of God, in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, we live in a society, in a generation where people talk so much about the wrath of God without thinking about the wrath of God. You have people tell you that a loving God will never send people to hell. Well, I agree. God will not send anybody to hell. Whoever goes to hell goes there at their own choice. Because it's presented life and death, and one has to make a decision. But there's no doubt that the God of love is also the God of wrath. He cannot smile over our sinfulness. He must judge sin. He judges in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those who run to Jesus are secured in him, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Like the Passover in the Old Testament, there's coming a day that Jesus will come. Judgment will be meted out. But when he sees the blood of Jesus in our hearts, he will pass over us. We are secured in him. But those who reject him shall be judged. Aren't you happy this morning that you are already judged in the Lord Jesus Christ? That he bore your sins on the cross of Calvary. And because of all these truths and many more, that the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ, we must represent him here in this world. And I'm here to charge you and to encourage you that let's join our forces together, keep on keeping on in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it shall not be long, and he that shall come will come. Until then, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you so much. He loved me so much. And the little we can do is to return our love back to him by sharing the gospel with other people. So I pray that God will speak to our hearts this morning, challenge us, cause us to say, Lord Jesus, no matter what, I will stand for you. In my school, I'm going to talk about you. In my neighborhood, I will present the gospel. In my job area, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Beloved, do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. For he was not ashamed of you. He bore your shame that you might become a child of God. Thanks be to God. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, for Jesus Christ, your son, who died for us, that we might live. Help us be true to you. And wherever we are, help us to talk about the love of Jesus, that others may be saved. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.